Good morning. Have you ever thought about how many words you speak in a day? I can't get up here and joke about, you know, women speaking more words in a day than men, because I'm quite sure that I speak quite a few words in a day. So I might break the standard or the norm here, but if you've thought about how many words you speak in a day, I looked up, the average individual at least speaks 7,000 words in a day. Now, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? 7,000 words in a day. Now, I'm going to break that today. I'm quite certain of that. But 7,000 words, have you thought about those words? I was talking with Jim and Paula yesterday talking about, you know, we're going to give an account for every idle word that we say. It certainly makes us understand that words are important, right? I've used this song before. I've shared these words before, and I want to share them again. The title of the song, it's a contemporary religious song. The title of the song is Words. They make me feel like a prisoner. Words can do that, right? They make me feel set free. They make me feel like a criminal. Made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down. Start a fire in your heart, or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. I love that. Now, there's more to that song than what I shared, but I love that. It really expresses the importance of words. Have you ever heard a lesson that just truly inspired you? Or maybe someone spoke a message to you that really brought a reality to what's going on in your life? We talk about sermons that step on our toes and hurt at times, that make us realize, wait a minute, I shouldn't be doing that, or maybe I need to do better. Have you had a compliment from someone in the course of a day, and it just made you feel great? Or maybe someone said something to you that wasn't very nice, and you just couldn't get it out of your head. And not only did it ring in your heart and ears that day and in your mind, it carried out through the week. Words are certainly important. And God wants us to be careful with our words, right? The meditation of my heart and basically the words that I say, I want to use those to bring honor to God Almighty. I mean, think about the importance of our words. I think Psalm 19, verse 14 should be on the heart of every child of God. I think if we process this verse and we internalized it and were more careful with what we talked about, the words that we used, think about how much of a blessing it would be for God's people and for others around us. You know, the tongue is like most things, right? God's given every one of us a tongue. Now, there are exceptions to this. There are people who cannot talk. They cannot speak words. That would be an exception. But everyone has a tongue to use to speak words, with the case of the exception. And the tongue is like most things, right? I remember Eric standing up here not long ago and talking about the Christian's use of the internet. Some things that we could use as a blessing. You talked about how, you know, we could get the gospel message out. You talked about how we could reconnect with friends. I mean, there are such blessings with the internet. You can gather information. You can grow in knowledge. But, you know, like most things that are given as a blessing, it can also be used as a curse, right? There are lots of forms of sin on the internet. And you know, the same thing is true with the tongue, that God has given us a tongue to use to praise Him, to build others up, to encourage others on their journey to heaven. But like most things, it can also be used as a curse. It could be used to tear people down or to degrade others. We talk about how we would never murder, but yet we might use words that would assassinate the character of another. Someone said, in thinking about this idea and mindset of the use of the tongue and specifically how it can be a curse even in the body of Christ, that when Satan fell, he fell right in the church. And there might be some truth to that by the way we use our tongues. We might be using our tongues more for evil than for blessing. I love the little poem about the tongue. The boneless tongue, so small, so weak, can crush and kill, declares the Greek. The tongue destroys a greater horde. The Turks assert that does the sword. The Persian proverb wisely saith, a lengthy tongue and early death. Or sometimes take this from instead, don't let your tongue cut off your head. The tongue can speak a word whose speed, the tongue can speak a word whose speed, says the Chinese, outstrips the steed. While Arab sages this impart, the tongue's great storehouse is the heart. From Hebrew writ, this saying sprung, though feet should slip, ne'er let the tongue. The sacred writers crown the whole, who keeps his tongue doth keep his soul. Do you understand how important words are? And how our words are to be used to praise God? And God would say something like this through John. He would say, how could we with one word praise our great God whom we've never seen physically and curse our brothers and sisters whom we have seen physically? It just doesn't make sense. There's an old story told about Gamaliel, and you know, this is one of those stories that, you know, you don't know if it's true or not, but it certainly makes a really good point. Gamaliel asked one of his servants, he said, I'd like for you to go into town and buy the best food in the market and bring it home. And so, the servant, he went to town and he purchased the best food that he could buy, and he actually purchased a tongue. And the next day, Gamaliel sent his servant back into town and he said, I want you to find the worst thing that you can find in the market and I want you to bring it home. And sure enough, Toby, the servant, he brought home, would you guess it, a tongue. And when asked for an explanation by Gamaliel to his servant Toby about why did you do this? Why did you do this twice? And he says, there's nothing better than a good tongue and nothing worse than an evil tongue. And how true is that? I mean, someone said the most ferocious monster in the world has his den behind the teeth. I think there's a lot of truth in that. Again, I think it should be just logically concluded that you and me, the family of Christ, the very body of Christ, the heart, the hands, the feet, and yes, the mouth of Christ, should be willing to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in His sight to bring glory and honor to God. I was talking with Standout, my preacher friend. I talked to him every day, and yesterday his mother fell and broke her arm, and anytime he's on the road, he calls me. You know, I don't know if it's the pastime or because we're both talkers and we're going to use a lot of words. But he said, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I told him, and he said, the tongue. He said, oh, are you preaching out of James 3? And I said, no. I said, but I should. He said, well, always remember, anytime you preach the tongue, there's going to be a lot of people quiet. And I said, well, there's probably truth to that. The Ecclesiastes writer in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, of all of the different seasons of life, one of those seasons is, he says, a time to be quiet and a time to speak. Yes, there is a time to use words, but there is also a time to be quiet. What is it? What is the old adage? It's better to remain silent and help me out and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. I've been guilty of removing the doubt many, many times. But yes, there's a time. The Ecclesiastes writer says there's a time to just not use words. But if you do, over and over and over, the scriptures tell us to let those words be seasoned with grace. Let those words be words that are uplifting and building others up. And so let's just think about three things before we leave this morning that might help us about the tongue. Number one, the tongue is a special gift from God. I mean, think about the words that you have spoken today. God has given many gifts, right, to us, many. But one of those gifts, as we're thinking about this morning, is the tongue. How have you used your words today? Have your words been a benefit to others? How have you used your words today? Many of you may not know Basil Overton. Is there anyone in here who's heard that name, Basil Overton? Okay, if you're from Alabama, you've got roots in Alabama, you've heard of Basil Overton. Brother Basil Overton, I'll tell you, he was just an incredible man. And growing up, Basil Overton said, I never thought about being a preacher. And he was a great gospel preacher. He was a prince of a preacher. And Brother Basil said that one day he was at church and some older lady looked at him and said, I want to tell you what, you look like a preacher to me. And he said, I'd never thought about that. I'd never thought that I look like a preacher. And why that woman said it, he said, I don't know. But you know what? He said, it encouraged me. And he was about 12 years old when this happened. He said, it encouraged me. And you know what? He said, I grew up thinking I was going to be a preacher because of what that woman said. Well, I remember when I first started at Heritage Christian University. At that time, it was International Bible College. And I remember the first time I met Brother Basil Overton. He was an instructor at Heritage Christian University. And like I said, just a prince of a preacher. And I remember he asked me my name. He said, what's your name? And I said, well, my name's Charles Abernathy. And he said, well, I'm Brother Basil Overton. It's good to meet you. And he had one of those booming preacher voices. You know, some preachers just are gifted that way. They just got that voice. You know, they talk like this and, you know, it never goes. I wonder if when they get home and they're talking to their wife, if it's like, hello, honey, how are you? You know, I just always wonder if that's the way it is. But I kind of picture Brother Basil being like that. But I remember when I met him the first time and I told him what my name was, he said, well, I want you to know, he said, we're cousins. Well, he had no idea who I was, but because my last name was Abernathy and he had some Abernathys in his family, and he said, now back in this place with the Nathy Fjords and the Aber River, and he started going through, I'd never heard this stuff before. And he said, so I'm telling you, son, we're cousins. And every time he saw me on the campus of International Bible College, he'd say, hey, cuz, how you doing? Well, how do you think that made me feel? You know, I'm related to Basil Overton. Don't you know who I am? You know, but just words can build us up. God's given us a special gift. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verses 13 and following. And I want to read this from a more contemporary translation. He says, You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. And as I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, you think about how wonderful and special we are. Think about how God has woven everything together in your body. One of those very many parts of your body is the tongue. And God says that it's special, right? He says, you have made me, you have fearfully and wonderfully made me. That means that your tongue as a part of the body has been wonderfully made. It's what we do with God's gift that makes the difference, doesn't it? Whether we use that gift for glory and honor or whether we use that gift as a means of sin. The tongue is a wonderful blessing to us. Think about it. I can tell you what's on my heart. I can tell you how I feel. I can share intimacy and express love with words. I think about In Matthew chapter 3, you remember the baptism of Jesus? You know, God used words as a way of affirming His love and building His Son up. You remember, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then in Matthew chapter 17, He says the same thing after giving words of affirmation for living a life well lived and without sin. And He goes on to say the same thing, but says, listen to Him. In other words, listen to His words. But words of affirmation, we can use words to build one another up. We can use words of affirmation to help encourage, to help lift up a soul. We can also use words. We've used words today. Yusef, what did you do when you stood up here and directed us in singing? You helped us to use words to praise God. We can use our words to praise God in song. And notice that Paul says that when we do that, we're teaching with those words one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And the tongue is to be used as a blessing because that's the reason it was given. But we could also use it as a dangerous weapon. Notice what Psalm 64 verse 3 says. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their bitter words like arrows. So there's the tongue. It's a special gift. How many of you agree with that? God has made you in such a beautiful way, and your tongue is the same. It's a blessing. But it is true, it can be dangerous. And so let's think, number two, about the sins of the tongue. There are the sins of the tongue, right? A person may be lost for sinning with his or her tongue, using that tongue to tear others down. As a matter of fact, James in chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, in other words, be careful with your words, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Use your tongue in a negative way, and all of the things that we talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verses 1 through 3 mean absolutely nothing. It's useless, James would say. Now, James would go on, and we're not going to talk about this morning, but he would use a whole chapter to talk about the tongue and how dangerous the tongue is. But in Psalm 39, verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. Being careful with the tongue. Why? Because we can use it as a means to sin. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. You might remember here in beginning in verse 16, a little description. It actually goes a little bit ahead of this, talking about the wicked man. But beginning in verse 6, we have these six things the Lord hates, right? And you know that one of those six things, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. You know, one of those things that's mentioned by the proverb writer is talking about the tongue. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. What's number two? A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. And by the way, I will tell you that number two and the last one are connected. One of the ways we disseminate discord is with our tongues. It can be used as a means to sin. 1 Timothy 5:13, James 4:11, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Someone said that, speaking of the tongue and gossip, that there are three types of gossip. Have you heard of this? Three types of gossip. There's the vacuum cleaner gossip, right? Always picking up the dirt. There is the shirt button gossip, right? It's always popping off. And there's the icy hot gossip. Always rubbing it in. Now just imagine. If you had heard a bit of gossip, I'll tell you what to do. That before you tell another, just suppose it had been you. Just suppose the latest scandal had been on you, and that only half the details really had been partly true, and that all the reasons for it, circumstances strange and new, all conspired to be mixed up. Just suppose, my friend, 'twas you. Would you wish folks to repeat it? Or forget it too? So before you tell another, just suppose it had been you. Now think about that. I think in some ways we're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this. You think about it. Gossip destroys three people. It destroys the gossiper. It destroys the listener. And it destroys the innocent party. Understand, God has given us so much in His Word about the use of the tongue, because He understands that, yes, the sins of the tongue can be evident in the life of a person who even claims to follow Him. And number three, the saints' use of the tongue. Again, I think about that godly woman who told Brother Basil Overton that he was going to be a preacher. And just because of some a few innocent words led a man to be a gospel preacher. I mean, think about that. Think about all the messages that Brother Basil has spoken and all the words that he has written in book form and all of the many people that he influenced along the way and converted to the cause of Christ. All because of a few innocent words offered. You look like a preacher. I think about the saints' use of the tongue in James chapter 3 verse 2. We stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. I mean, you think about all of the amazing things about Jesus Christ. How many are there? Too numerous to name, right? We start talking about the wonderful things that He did and how He influenced people, how He changed literally the world. And you know, one of the most amazing things about Him, yes, the miracles are amazing. Obviously, the death on the cross is the most amazing, giving His life for us. But one of the most amazing things about Him is He never sinned with His tongue. Never. Nor was any guile, as Peter says, was found in His mouth. He was a perfect man. And as followers of His, shouldn't we strive to be the same way and to be the same kind of people? Again, James 3, James, the brother of our Lord, must have known this. He must have picked up on it. I mean, think about the people. I thought about one individual in particular, Brother Bill Bagents. I don't know how many of you have heard of him. Brother Bill Bagents was a longtime minister in the Florence area. He was an instructor at Heritage Christian University. He's still an instructor at Heritage Christian University. If you ever get the opportunity to meet Bill. Now, Brother Bagents was one of the instructors when we went through our series of lessons when we were in the Irene Stern on Wednesday nights. He was one of the individuals that gave a lesson. He's remarkable in so many ways, but he's so remarkable in that I've never heard him misspeak. In sermons or in private conversations, and I've had many with him. Always looking to encourage someone. People like that amaze you, don't they? You think about the strong character that it takes for a man to be like that. And you think about how that's exactly, I think about what I should be and who I should grow up to be. And I think about Brother Bill Bagents. But we're so moved by people who are careful with their words and who use their words in such a beautiful, beautiful way. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always, underline that word. And I want to tell you, I struggle with this. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. God wants us to have strong character. He wants us to stand up for truth. He wants us to be a people who are using our words to build one another up. Who's the next preacher right here? The next Bible class teacher? Who's the next elder? You know, it might just be a few encouraging words that moves that individual in that direction and set on that path. And you know what? You and I can have a big part in that. But also understand that our words can have a negative impact. While I was talking with Stan last night, he told me about a preacher that he knew in Pocahontas, Arkansas. He said this preacher was playing church league softball. And he was a member of the church, a preacher in the Lord's church, and he was out there playing softball one day, and he had a couple of little kids, and I don't know, Stan couldn't remember exactly how it happened, but he said his kids, he was walking out on the field, and his kids were actually following him out on the field. And he turned around and he screamed at his wife and he said, "You get these kids right now." Now here's a preacher screaming at his wife in front of everyone about his kids. Stan said, think about all those people who were not Christian that heard this preacher. He said it also reminded him of a story. An individual was working at Arvin. It's a factory in southeast Missouri. And he said this couple worked with this man, and this man was always negative and berating people, and he always had his hands all over people, and he was just negative and harsh. And one of the couples that worked with this guy, decided to visit church one Sunday. They didn't know this guy attended church. And when they walked in the door, they saw this guy teaching Bible class. They saw who it was and reflected on all the many negative things and how ugly this man was, especially with his words and his actions. And they turned around and walked out. This is why using our tongue in a very biblical Christian way is so important. Because it not only affects us in here, it affects others out there. I don't know where you are in your walk with Jesus. I hope that you are walking faithfully with Him as a child of His, and that you are using your words to build one another up. I pray that's the case. If it's not, we encourage you to understand that your tongue, your words can set a course on fire that can ultimately end in hell. And that's the reality of this lesson. It could be that you could use words this morning, if you're not a child of God, to express your love for God and confess Him with words that He is the eternal Son of God. Be immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away and becoming a child of God. If we can help you in any way this morning in your response to Jesus Christ and to His grace, then we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.